Mizmar Memtes. Memtes. Labatzech Livnei Karach Mizmar. Another Mizmar from the Bnei Karach. This Mizmar, the topic of this Mizmar is the pursuit of material gain. Okay, the topic of the Kim Meir Meir. Okay, the topic of this Mizmar is the pursuit of Gashmias. The pursuit is the pursuit of Gashmias at the expense of Ruchnias. And it's relatively speaking, it's a long Mizmar. It's like right out of Chavis Halavos, Mesilas Yesharim, Chavis Halavos. It's heavy, heavy Musar. The Malbim over here is extremely eloquent in his description of what exactly David, what the Bnei Karach are trying to say, and we have to appreciate why Dafka, this Mizmah, was written by Bnei Karach. Karach was the richest person in the world at that time. Karach found, he discovered, he won the, what's the lottery, the Powerball. He won the Powerball of the what?
No one won.
Okay, he won the Powerball of his day, Karach, and he was phenomenally wealthy, and his children obviously were raised in the lap of luxury, and when they saw their father being swallowed up, they came to realize this with clarity, is that the pursuit of Gashmias, to pursue wealth, it's not going to do you anything. At the end, all the money is not going to prevent you from being swallowed up by the earth and ceasing to exist. Okay, so there's going to be a lot of powerful muscle. Let's take a look over here at some of the Mizmar. Let's look a little bit at some of the Mefarshim who opened up the Mizmar. Let's look at the Ibn Ezra to start. Okay, the Ibn Ezra on page 433, he writes, Zeh HaMizmar Hu Nichbad Me'oid. It is exceedingly honored. Now, obviously, the Ibn Ezra, we always say we don't really too often learn in Ibn Ezra inside. His words are very terse, very, very, very mystical, and bekitzer, obscure. His words are very obscure, very hard to really decipher what he means to say. And here he says something in the beginning, that this one thing at least we can say is nichbad ma'od. It is very, very precious, this Mizmar. And he writes over here, he doesn't talk openly about Gashmias, about the foolishness of living a life where the only thing that counts is money. But he does say that this Mizmar is nichbad ma'od, and it has in it mufarash the or ha'olam haba, the or of the next world, and the nishmas ha'chachamim. In this Mizmah, you'll find a mention, the description of the neshamas of the Chachamim who never die, who do not die in the next world. There are creatures and things that die in this world, but not in the Chachamim, not tell me the Chachamim, and not the people that are attached to Hashem. Okay, let's take a look over here at the Malbim. Okay, let's look at the Malbim. The Malbim Pasuk Aleph. Page 432, Lamatzeach, Toichachas Musar, El Haboitchem, this Mizmar is a Toichachas Musar. It is a strong, biting rebuke to those people, El Haboitchem, Ba'ashem, those people who have faith in their wealth, V'oivdim as Gufam V'admasam, people who worship their bodies and their assets, their land, U'ma'avidim, U'ma'abdim es Nafsham V'nishmasam. And they destroy in different ways, the ma'avdim and ma'abdim. What's the difference? Ma'avidim, u'ma'avidim, u'ma'abdim. What's the difference in those two words? I don't know. They worship,
u'ma'avidim. They destroy others.
U'ma'avidim means they worship. They worship themselves and destroy. They destroy as nafsham v'nishmosam. They're nafsham and nishmosam. Umare es alpneim sichlusam. The foolishness of these people is written all over their face. And now look at these beautiful poetic words now. Ki yachalifu, they exchange Ha'olam ha'imei, the world that stands forever, which refers to Olam Haba, with Be'oved, with this world that is a world that is going to be destroyed. And Oved, this world is a world that is a loss, a doomed world. Haruchani, they exchange spirituality, Bagashmi, with materialism. They exchange Hanikle, something that is despised. This world he's saying is despised. Banichbad, with the Olam Haba, which is the world that is nichbad, that is honored. V'chinimshlub kabehemos nidmu, these people are compared to animals. This mizmor is going to highlight the futility of this of Olam Hazeh, the foolishness of humanity in worshipping Olam Hazeh, pursuing the benefits of Olam Hazeh. This world is doomed, as Ramchal said, it's oyved, this world is nikle, it's lowly, this world is over, it's oved, it's a world of materialism, it is nikle, and the people that pursue this world for its own sake are no different than animals. Okay. Yes. Unless you can't get this the prosa. So obviously it has to be taken in balance. Obviously you have to have a good life in this world, right? You have to have, obviously what he means to say over here is those people that worship this world for its own sake and don't look at this world as an opportunity to use this world as a way to acquire Olam Haba. What's the difference between two types of people? There are certain people that look at the Taryag Mitzvahs as obstacles. I always tell you this, in video games, there are two different types of video games. There's a video game where you're driving down a road, and one type of video game, the goal is to collect all the tokens, all the treasures. As you drive, there's a treasure here, a treasure there, a treasure there, and as you're driving in this 3D video game, you have to veer off the road and chop the treasure, and then get back onto it and go weit and chop another treasure. And you have to keep on going, and the winner is the one that chops the most treasures. And then there are people living in this world. The other video game is where you're driving down the road and there are obstacles. There are ditches and there are walls and there's gridlock. There are obstacles, and the goal is to avoid, to get to your destination and avoid all of the obstacles. That's the mashal for this world. There are some people who go this world, you're just going down on a tour. You're driving down a road. And there are some people in this world that look at the Taryag Mitzvahs as treasures, opportunities. And the goal is to travel down the road and chop as many opportunities and treasures you possibly can. And there are other people that are going down this road and they look at the Taryag Mitzvahs as obstacles. They're in my way. I want to go have a good time over the weekend. No, I got a problem. I have an obligation to daven. So for a few more dollars, we'll hire some people to come, we'll make a minion. I got another problem. There's no kosher food. Okay, so a few more dollars, we'll hire a kosher caterer. I got another problem. I can't turn on the lights. All right, for a few more dollars, we'll solve that problem, we'll get a goy. Everything in this world is just an obstacle. Every mitzvah is nothing more than an obstacle in how to live your life like a goy. And to pursue gashmius. So there are tayag mitzvos, there are 613 obstacles, and you have to find solutions for those obstacles. And then there are people that go down life, and every time there's a mitzvah, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity, it's another jackpot. Another jackpot. You have to have a balance. Absolutely. That's the key word in life. You have to have a balance. So over here, obviously, this mizmor is discussing the people that look at the Taryag Mitzvahs as obstacles. And they look at this world as the Iker, the Gashmis is the Iker, and everything is an obstacle. That's what the Malbim. So we have two different expressions of here in the Malbim. And we have the Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra says this mizmor is nichbad me'od. It describes the awe of Olam Haba and the Tzadikim. And the Malbim says this mizmor is going to teach us about the futility of pursuing Gashmis for its own sake. What does it say over here in the Targum? Not yet. We'll see Targum soon. And let's see what it says. Let's see what it says in let's take a look over here what it says in the Sipurno. Sipurno Perek Mem Tes on page 433. It says bezeh hamizmar ber hevdel asher ben hatoelus hanimshach min hashtadlus v'atoyev masim toyevim v'hishtadlus b'kibutz. Ha-hishtadlus v'atoyev masim toyevim v'ha-hishtadlus b'kibutz hamomoin hamurgul eitzel roiv b'nei adam. The difference between people that involve, they invest effort in acquiring Torah and Maisim Tovim versus the people who invest all of their effort and toil in collecting money. And most people fall in the latter category. Most people in this world, they're involved in pursuing Oysher, wealth, and Gashmias. That's Roiv B'nei Adam.
And
This mizmor is the Beis Avel? Yeah, I didn't know that.
Of course.
Memtes?
The very last thing you said before.
Oh, I don't. Okay. In Rosh Hashanah. Okay. I didn't realize that. This is it. Okay. Exactly. I didn't realize that. Okay. Very important. Okay. That's very important. So this we say in the Beis Avel, and this mizmor discusses. Well, see, it fits very well with what says in the Ibn Ezra and with all the Mefarshim. Number one, Ibn Ezra talks about it's nichvad ma'od. It's the or. Ha'olam haba v'nishmas ha'chachamim shelo'i tamus. Although it may appear that their physical body is no longer here, their neshama lives on in the next world. Good morning, Rav Mordechai.
Good morning,
Rabbi Wolf.
Okay.
A donut, please. It's soon going to be a sorry, but
I also don't need to find somebody who can drop them.
It's not good for the teeth. It's not good for the teeth.
Very much not.
After you say this is not good for, it's not good, these donuts, when we learn the mizmah about the Beis Avel. These donuts are going to get us there. We're looking for arichas yamim.
It's good for lutzah.
Okay, Rabbi Isai. Okay, so it's very apropos. Rabbi Isai, this mizmar is what you say in the Beis Avel, very apropos to focus on what is life all about. What does a person take with him? Person at the end of life, you look back, what did I spend my whole life on pursuing money? And this mizmar says, don't fall into that trap. Don't fall into that trap.
That's why you have Lama Yirabi Beira.
But it's too late
to mistake. No, it's why it's not too late. For the people who come to the Beis Avel, it's a Musa Haskel. Going to Beis Avel, you have time. There's time yet to have a change, to change your career. Right? I don't know what your wife's going to say about that, but... Drop out, quit your job, and go to the Beis Medrash, and who's going to pay the bills? I don't know. Okay, so here is this is. So we have already read three different things we've read, three very profound ideas about this mizmar. Okay, now let's take a look over here. Also, let's look at Pasuk Beis and Rashi. Rashi also opens up the mizmar by telling us Lefisha mizmar zem miyusod al bnei adam haboitchem ba'asha. Rashi is a little more biting. He's a little more intense over here in his Musar. People who have, it's the foundation of this Mizm, people who have faith in their wealth. Omar kol, so he rashtling the pshat, kol ho'amim, shekulam tzrichim yisur. Which means over here is that this affects every living person. Shimuzos kol ha'amim, doesn't only affect Klal Yisrael.
Universal.
A universal principle is that no one should have confidence. I have money in the bank. And therefore, I don't need Hashem. I don't need Hashem. I have money. Don't fall down that trap. I told you many times.
Why are you saying the next statement? Is therefore I don't need Hashem.
I'm sorry?
Why do they have to say the next statement? They can say, they like having money, but they don't have to say.
Habaitchem. Baitchem. They rely. They rely on money. They take out of the Shimon Esrei, Baruch Aleinu Hashem Lokeinu Asashon Hazes. They turn off that bracha. They don't need this. Hashem, I don't need you. I already have more money than I'll ever need, and therefore, I have confidence that I'm secure in my wealth. And so we hear this mizmor saying that is a foolish thing. The foolish thing,
okay,
to.
One second. You take me back to the basics then. Kol ha'amim, the group of the nations of the world. What's their obligation to God? They have to believe that there's one God. That's it.
No.
Obviously
not. That's exactly what Rashi is saying. That even a goy, it's not enough for them just to believe in God. Even a goy has to acknowledge that there's more than just believing in God. You have to realize that every day your money is not secure. It's only because Hashem wants you to have money. Any moment, Hashem can take away your money. The economy, you know, the dollar is only as good as the United States of America. As long as the United States of America is in business, then money has value. Rahman litzlan. You see what happens in Venezuela, what happens in all different countries. When a country goes out of business, then the money, people that throw this the money in the streets, it's not worth anything. It's a very frightening thing. I told you when there was a story about a person who told the Chafetz Chaim that he's a very, very wealthy man. He told that he's diversified his portfolio. He has money, his assets are all over the world, in every country, every type of asset. And he said to the Chafetz Chaim that basically, it's literally impossible for me to be poor. My money, my assets are diversified to such a degree, if the world will have to be destroyed in order for me to have nothing, not to have any assets. So the Chafetz Chaim said to him, it may be true that so he said, what am I supposed to do? How do I have faith? How do I have faith? In Hashem, that my money, my wealth comes from Hashem. Hashem can't take it away from me. So the Chafetz Chaim said to him, it may be true that you think that Hashem can take the money away from you, but Hashem can take you away from the money. And that's a very profound concept, because it doesn't just mean you're going to die. It means you can be incapacitated. You can be rachmanless. You can be locked up in some, some situation where you mamish. The money's there, but you can't get to spend it. It's just, a person can be sick. Person can be in a certain type of situation where the money is locked up. Yeah, the money's there. You don't have a liquid assets. There are many
who
give you.
Liquid, but they can be frozen.
Very good. They can be liquid, but it can be frozen. Okay, so there are many scenarios where people are supposedly very, very wealthy, but are not nene, they have no benefit from their wealth at all. So, yeah, there are people that are very wealthy, and we all know that with wealth comes daigus, comes incredible daigus with money. I mean, it's just a bracha. Everything needs siyata d'shmaya to have what you need, and it shouldn't overwhelm you. And with money comes people become very, very wealthy. They can't even go to shul. I know someone. He doesn't come. He doesn't daven in a shul. He used to daven in a certain place, and he doesn't come there anymore. And I suspect the reason why he doesn't come there anymore is because when he walks in, people just ask him for money. It's all you're here. They're just maneuvering how to squeeze out of him money, and it becomes a very, for some people who don't have that siyata d'shmaya, having wealth comes with an enormous amount of burden.
You're not a free man anymore.
Exactly, not a free man. Wherever you go, you need security. Wherever you go, people are bothering you. They're bothering you, nudging you.
That's why people who win the lottery
try to
be as obscure as possible.
Mm-hmm. Look, there was an article, I'm sure you can get it online, an article, it was for many, many years, I always tell you, in the New York Times magazine section, many, many years ago, where they did a case study. They studied people who won the lottery for 25 years. 25 years. Every single one of them said at the end of 25 years, I wish I didn't win the lottery. It ruined my life. It ruined my life. And they all basically said, everyone, if you win, let's say, $1 million, every single person thinks you won $50 million. When you win $1 million, you only really win half of that. Okay, now the Mega Millions, okay, you're going to win over here. Even if you go, it's whatever it is, half. Right away, it's half. That's half. So everyone, whatever people think you, they think that you won 10 times more than you won. And the truth is, whatever you won only half. Number two, every single person has an expectation for you to buy them a new house, to buy them a new car. And you don't have any real relationship with anyone. Everything, every relationship you have with a person is all about money. Look, I'll be the first one to tell you, try it on me. Okay. I'm not gonna be from those people in the New York Times. I'm gonna be different. I'll be the first one to confess. It's okay.
Rabbi Milley used to say the nisayon of wealth is much worse than the nisayon of poverty.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'm willing to take that upon myself. And I'm sure everyone in this room will say the same. Okay, there's no one that's not gonna say different than that. Don't worry about it. I'll let me try. I'll take a shot, right? And no, with a heartbeat. No one's gonna.
People change their lifestyle. That's what gains them. They quit their job and things like that.
I grew up after the war in our place. There was kronas and forints from the before the war. The inflation was so big, they were printing it in 10,000, 5,000, 50,000. The paper were very nice because the denominations, the pictures were so nice. This Australian and Hungarian kings were, and Czechoslovakia were in beards with this mustache. We had, see, the children were playing like Monopoly money. This much, I had in my pocket, I was a 4 or 5 year old kid, a lot like this. Then my father said, somebody will see, I own that money, and he burned it. But somebody owned that money and became nothing.
Yeah, it's a frightening thing. So you can't. It's a very, very frightening thing. And the goyim have the same. The goyim have the same. You know, we're living in a country now. It's very, very frightening. You know, nothing. It's frightening. You know, you have to have emunah. This Mizmor Rashi says, "Shimu kol am lefi shemizmos miyusod al bnei adam haboitchem beoshram amar kol ha'amim." Shekulam tzrichim yisur. Everyone needs musa. Everyone needs to take this to heart. That the end of the day, you have to have emun in Hashem, because Hashem, He is in control of your assets, of your wealth, and never forget it. Okay, so basically, we've gone through the Hakdama, and the Hakdama over here says that in this mizmar, pretty much, we're going to see some very sharp musa about people who pursue wealth for its own sake, just to have pleasure from it and to have confidence that they are secure and they'll have a wonderful life and they will have no daigois as long as they have money in the bank. Person should not ever chas v'shalom. That's the tafkid of this mizmar. Don't ever think like this. And again, this comes from B'nai Koirach, because if there's one to know, it's them. They were the children of the richest man in the world. Koirach, he discovered the wealth. Yosef, there's a famous Medrash Yosef, he gathered all the wealth. This week's parasha, Yosef, he gathered all of the wealth of the world. The whole world came to Egypt during the 5 years of famine to buy grain, and he acquired everything. What did Yosef do with all of that money? He divided it into three parts. One third is still put away. No one knows where it is. It will be discovered for the tzaddikim la'osilavo. The other third, I remember, I already forgot this. One third was found by Koirach. Koirach found one third, and the other third, I don't remember. I forgot what happened.
Money used from Israel.
The other third, they it was destroyed. It was I think it was destroyed. Chazal, they learned from this is that this concept. Is very common by the Rebbe from the Kerestir, Rabbi Shaila, who just a few days ago, Meir told me just a few days, probably the last person who saw him, who actually saw him, died, right?
So
a woman in Borough Park, 108 years old,
Mrs. Schick,
so she passed away last week. They're still sitting shiva.
She was all there 2 days before she was. Who opted his wife?
A different trick.
She saw the Rebbe, Rabbi Shaila from Kerestir. I had no idea who Rabbi Shaila was. I had no clue who Rabbi Shaila from Kerestir was until I started seeing his picture posted. And I told you the... So who is that? It used to be the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Right, no more. Baba Shabbi is not now. They have the Rebbe Yishai. But I think it went away. They don't see too much anymore. Right, there was a policeman that went over to a guy and he said to someone, he put on the picture, "Tell me, Did they find the old man? They thought he was missing, like a missing. What? So no, he died. He died before World War One. He died. When did he die? Between World War One and World War Two, there was a little city called Keresztér. Where is Keresztér? I read the biography. I forgot everything. Hungary. Okay, it is a phenomenal. So I had no idea who it was. So Yisrael Besser. There's a biography in Hebrew. The big thick biography. Yisrael Besser. Yisrael Besser is a very popular person today. I met him by the Aguda convention. Okay, that's why I told you, you go to, you meet people. You get to meet people. And he moderated one of these sessions. So he's a very, very popular author. He wrote many, many books for art school, for not art school, writes magazines. He has a koyach. He's able to just on the spot put out, and he teaches. He wrote the Dov Feinstein book, Wow, you see, this mamish, one after another, he knocks them off, one after another. So he translated this Hebrew biography of the Rebbe Mishael Levi Keresztér, and it's fantastic. He won me over. I'm a cynic, a critic. I read the biography. It's really good. It made a roisham on me. It really made a roisham on me on who was this person, Mishael Levi Keresztér, and he had a koyach of giving bracha to people, parnasa. Like you said, Rav Nachum Elmi Rimanov, a lot of his Torah was on the Mon, was on the Parshas Haman. It's a koyach of Parnasa. So how do we get into this? Someone mentioned something over here. I totally forgot.
Someone died.
Right. So she saw him. She actually saw him.
He was in her house when she was a young girl.
He was a very holy person. One of the things that just comes to memory is that his
wealthy?
What?
Was she wealthy when she passed away?
I have no idea. What am I telling you over here? Now remember, over here, this mizmar is very important. This mizmar was written by Bnei Korach. Bnei Korach grew up in the lap of luxury. Their father found a third of the wealth of the world.
Yeah, that was his downfall.
So
because it was unearned.
Unearned, okay. Okay, who says that? You're saying that?
The Medrash, I think.
The Medrash says? So the all of the wealth of the world, the entire wealth of the entire world was collected by Yosef HaTzadik. He divided it into three parts. One part is gone. And two-thirds are really gone by now. One-third is still put away for the Tzadikim L'Asulava. So it says, whatever this Medrash means, it's put away in Geniza for the Tzadikim L'Asulava. One-third... I don't remember what it says in the Medrash. One third was found, was put in Geniza, and was discovered by Korach. So Korach had in his possession one third of the wealth of the entire world, and his children, obviously, you know, they had access to this. And here they are writing, what did all this money do for us?
Nothing.
Our father was literally swallowed up by the earth. So what?
With all his money.
With all the money, right, with everything. What did it do for us? Nothing. Learn. So therefore, it's appropriate. It's one thing if a person that can doesn't have a penny to his name, and a gonel, a beggar will come to shul and stand by the people and say, Rabbi, what's all your money worth? What's it going to do for you? Easy for you to say. You're a beggar. You don't have a penny to your name. But when a wealthy person, everyone walks in, the gevir is here. And he has all the money. And he gets up and he says, you know, the money is a curse. What did the money do for me? Then you pay attention. Money talks. Well, the person who has all the money in the world... It talks. Now, going back to this medrash showed that why didn't Yosef divide the money into three parts? And the answer is, Yosef was able to tell where the money came from. Money that was earned honestly. Someone comes down to eat, we want to buy bread. Yosef was able to, what do you do for a living? I'm a wood chopper. I'm a water carrier. I sweat. I work. You know how hard it was for me to earn these $5? And we have no food? He gave Yosef a $5 bill. Here, go take a whole storage house of grain for yourself. That $5, that's kosher money. Another guy walks in, here's $1 million. Where'd this money come from? I know where. You're right. I don't have to go use your imagination where this money came from. Here, there's a little, take a little basket. Take a little basket over here of some grain you can take over here. The money that was not kosher money, it was not, he put in one collection, he put the money divided into three collections. The kosher money, he put away for the tzaddikim liyasa lavai. The not so kosher money, I don't remember which money, but he divided the money into three different sections. The money that Korach found, so Rav Mechol is saying he didn't earn it, but it's more what kind of the money that Korach found was not the best money. That money was earned through unethical. No, this is way before. I don't remember the Medrash in detail, but Yosef, we're talking about Yosef. This is before Beitzah Hayyam. Korach, no, Korach did not get the money from the Beitzah Hayyam. Korach got the money from what he found from Yosef. Everyone in Klal Yisrael was wealthy because of the Beitzah Hayyam. There was Beitzah Mitzrayim and there was Beitzah Hayyam. But Korach had extra. Korach had wealth that surpassed everyone else in the whole Klal Yisrael. Everyone just took from their local Egyptian. They took from Mitzrayim, and they took from the Yishalum in Mitzrayim. Kibitzu lo she'ein bodogim. Right? That's what that was. The Rashi. That was the Rashi in this week's parasha. But now everyone was wealthy. But Korach was super, super, super rich. He was a trillionaire. He had it all because he found a geniza that was put away by Yosef. The money that he found was not such kosher money. And Yosef Bedavko, he divided the money into three parts to separate between the three. So while this triggered this memory of what I read in this book from the Rebbe of Rishayla Mikeristir, he had that koyach. People, he distributed. He himself lived in abject poverty to an extreme, according to what it says in the book. He lived with mamish nothing. But he distributed an enormous amount of tzedakah. And when you distribute, you have to first collect. And he collected. People came to him and they gave him money. They asked for brachos, they gave him kvitlach, and they gave him enormous amount of money. And he was able to detect what kind of money he has. And he separated, this was something that he was known for, he separated money into different collections. And the money that was kosher money, he put away. And the money that was not so kosher money, he had a different collection. Ad kidei kach, that a lot of money that he had, he buried. Either he buried, and then there was a maisa where someone found out, saw where he buried the money, and they dug it up, so he started from then on burning it. Because he was able to detect that this money that they gave to him, it's not kosher money. It comes from sources that are not proper, and therefore a bracha will not be chal. A bracha on this money will not be chal. Go give an organization $1 million, and the next day, what do you hear? They invested in something, and all the money is gone. All the money is gone. So we cannot say this, but he would say, well, that money was not kosher money. That's why. And then give to an organization $5, and they take that $5 and they do something with it, and a bachar in the yeshiva benefits, and he turns into the Gadol Hador. Okay? It's not so much the amount of money, it's where did this money come from? If the money came from a holy source, then this money will go a very, very long way. You see some institutions, they operate on a shoestring, on a budget of almost nothing, and they accomplish incredible things. And then you see some institutions that collect millions and millions of dollars. And what do they have to say for themselves? When the day is over, new, what are your accomplishments? What have you? Well, we have this scandal, and this fight, and that machlokes. Just an institution of fighting scandals and problems. And other institutions, they're producing incredible things. They're producing people come out, talmidei chachamim, people, happy people, successful people, people that have a healthy outlook on life. And what's your budget? They have a teeny budget. How did you manage to survive? I don't know. We somehow managed. That was the koyach. This is a koyach. This by the Mishkan was exactly Bezalel, exactly the same thing. Bezalel, when they gave a donation, so Bezalel lachashoyv machashavos. What does that mean in Parashas Truma? We say this many times. Is he was, I think even Rashi says, the Chazal said this, a person came and gave gold as a donation to the Beis Hamish. Where will this gold go? Will this gold go for the Oroin? Or is it going to go for some, I don't know, some hook or something that's going to be, you know, not such an important thing? Bitzalel, Aholiyov, and Moshe were able to discern through Ruach HaKodesh where this money came from. If this gold coin came with honesty, then it's going to go to for the Aron HaKodesh. It's going to be part of the Kruvim. And if this gold came from Gizela, Geneva, who knows what, it's not going to be used for the Aron HaKodesh. We're going to use this gold coin for something else. Lachashoiv machashoviz. Why are you giving the money? You're giving the money because you're under pressure. I don't really want to give the money. It's only because I'm under pressure to give the money. Okay, money is money. You give money, honest money, it's good money. Don't make cheshbon. It's not for us, any cheshbon, our generation, to make any cheshbonis about these type of things. But at least in concept, there is such a principle. It's one thing that I really, really enjoyed about that story in that book, really, really, really got to me, is that he used to give out when he was a young man, the Rebbe Yishai Mikeres Tirs, I think it was for it turned into his father-in-law. He was like a hoizbach by his father-in-law. So by Shalashudis, he had a bag. They would give out bulkaloch for Shalashudis. So he took the bag, like you go to the bakery and you have a whole bag of bulkaloch, right? And then it came after Mincha, Shabbos after Mincha, he would put his hand in the bag and give everyone. You give out like a Mordechai. You give out to everyone in the shul, bulkala. So his shver, who was the Rebbe before him, was watching him and was staring at him and was smiling. So someone said to his shver, a future shver, what are you looking at him for? What's the big deal over here? He says, I have so much hana watching Reb Shaila give out the bulkala. So the person said, what's the big deal? This, you don't understand. He's giving out the bulkaloch from an empty bag. He's giving out the bulkaloch from an empty bag. He's putting his hand into the bag and he takes out the bulkaloch. There's nothing in the bag. I have so much time watching how he's giving out bulkaloch from an empty bag. Okay, whether you believe the story or not, that's not for me to say, okay? But this captures the person, okay? It captures the person. And it's undisputable that this story captures, whether that particular story, listen, you believe every story, you know the Bible. If you believe every story, you're a Tom, right? And if you don't believe any story, you're not Bikaris. Okay, so we know that principle. Is this particular story the point? And that's really, he was, I have Hannah watching him take out from an empty bag. Okay, he, a koyach. In any event, that's the theme of this beautiful mizmar, and that's the message that's the message in the Beis Ovel is, at the end of the day, listen, you got to pay the bills. Everyone's no one's a fool to tell you that you're gonna live with miracles. You gotta do what you gotta do. And some people, Baruch Hashem, are very successful. They're very successful. Like, you know, actually, I went to a kiddush last Shabbos, and someone spoke, and he said something. It's very posh. It's not a kiddush what he said, but he said there was a person. Maybe he's talking about himself. Even this person, he says that he was doing very well. He was doing very well in business. And he went to his Rebbe, and he said, you know, I'm doing very well, I have a lot. Maybe I should, you know, cut back on working. I should cut down my hours. Instead of working the whole day, I should work, whatever, only half a day now. And I should spend the rest of the time sitting and learning. I should learn, I should be Isaac in a... Okay. So the Rebbe told him, definitely not. Definitely not. If you are successful, and this is your Seder Hayom, work even harder. Work even harder. Hashem gave you this koyach. Dvam shutim. It's not a chiddush. You have a job. You're doing something and you're very successful. And now you have plenty of money stashed away. plenty of money, more than you'll ever, more than you need. And now you're questioning, maybe, you know, I cut back. I'll just, you know, deal with this. And the rest of the day, I'm going to sit and learn, focus. No. The Rebbe told him, I don't know which Rebbe this is. You know, it's not a chiddush. I think any Rebbe would say the same thing. If this is where you're matzliach, you have to pursue this to the nth degree, as much as you can. And Hashem is giving you this money for a purpose. For a purpose. Klal Yisrael needs. They are Yisrael Merubim. And if this is where your Hatzlocha is, Adarabah. Don't cut back. Just sit and learn. Work even harder. Of course, it goes without saying. You have to prepare your neshama for the next world. You have to learn. Avada, avada. But if this is where your matzliach, this is what Hashem wants from you. He wants you, adrabah, more hatzlacha. This is where your brecha, a bracha is, but not to take the money for yourself.
Right.
Obviously, the purpose is, use what Hashem gave you. Tzorchei amcha Yisrael merubim. There are many people out there that need help. But there are things you can do to help people help themselves. Okay, obviously the biggest thing you can do for a person is give them a job or teach them. Avigdor Miller said, "What's a real friend? What is the definition of a real friend? A real friend, someone that helps you get a job." Here at Mordechai. No, we have something personal. Yeah, someone that tries to help you get a job. That's a real friend. Okay? It's not a real friend to take you out to dinner and to send you mashalach manos. Someone who thinks about you enough that he says, come, let me teach you how to make money. I'm going to teach you some secrets how to make money. Avigdor Miller, okay? This is Avigdor Miller. Avigdor Miller is powerful. That's a real friend. So here this mizmor is all about money is worthless. It's not so worthless. Money is money. Money is, you need money for everything. But obviously it's the attitude. The focus of the Mizmar again and again is an unhealthy attitude towards the value of money. And this is something that we always continuously need chizuk. We always need chizuk in this matter. Okay, so that hakdama. You can't take it. You see, you never saw a hearse being followed by a Brinks truck. you never saw the procession, the blinkers. Well, everyone, please go outside and line up. Turn on your blinkers. And there's the hearse. And right behind the hearse is a Brinks truck with its blinkers on. All the cash is going to the cemetery. The person is taking the money with him to the next world. You never saw that, right? You never saw that. At least not yet.
When the CFO of Brinks goes.
When the CFO of Brinks, he'll have Brinks trucks behind him. Okay, very funny. All right, so with that said, let's now read some Sukkim. Shimu Zosla Lamasech Levnikach Mizmar. Okay, so then this the one who's to know is Bnei Korach. When Bnei Korach they talk, they have first-hand experience. Look where our money got us. Our wealth, a third of the wealth of the world, it got us into the grave. The world, Hashem was the opened up. It's a very, very big nisoyan, obviously. Lam natzeach, Hashem only gives you a nisoyan that you can handle. So I guess some people who don't have, whatever, enough said. Listen, all the nations. This is a universal principle. It's not only for Klal Yisrael. Hazinu kol yoyshvei cholet. We have over here the word chol. Cholet means the world. There's a lot of perushim. That's what we'll see in a few moments. The word cholet. Cholet of a chulda. Cholet means rust. This world is like is chalu, either means chaluda. Chaluda is rust. What is rust? Okay, scientifically you go through the whole a lot of darshan like to talk about it. What is the science of when metal rusts? The whole
oxidation.
Lot of, what?
Oxidation.
So what does that mean exactly?
That oxidation corrodes with the metal and produces an oxide.
So there's a loss of oxygen?
Oxygen combines with the metal and makes a coating.
Chemical reaction.
The chemical reaction involves oxygen. Oxygen is air. You need air to live. I don't remember, the inspirational speakers, they like to talk about the scientific process of rust and has something to do with avir, with the breath of life. When the breath of life becomes poisoned, then it's destroyed. Metal is a very beautiful object. And when the oxygen in the metal, it is not handled correctly due to different circumstances, then that oxygen, it destroys an object of beauty. So we live in this world, we breathe air. Vayipach ba'apov nishmas chayim. If the air that we breathe is corrupted and everything is just about money, it's about money, all about money, every breath you take is money, 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 money. There are people like that. Everything is about money. But everything is about money, then the whole world turns into rust. The whole world becomes disgusting. It becomes dangerous, becomes ugly.
Corroded.
When money is the source of all evil, it's the source of all blessing, and it's also the source of all evil, when everything is all about money. Shimu zois kol amim hazinu kol yoshrei kol yoshrei.
Rashi has a French word for kol. What does that mean?
Okay, we'll do the Rashi. We'll do Rashi. You want to say what it means? Rizuli, what did Rashi?
It says
yeah,
there, rodil, which means yeah. Rust, or in modern French, rui. We had that before, actually. Previous
Mizpah. Yes. All right, so we'll come to Rashi. I want to show you a page, at least one page of the Mitzvah Stavid.
Thank you,
Mikhail. Shimu zois kalim hazinu listen kol yoshvei chole. There are two different words, by the word. There's the word of shimu and the word of hazinu. It's like hazinu hashmaim va'adabera v'sishma haaretz imrefi. These are two different words. We'll learn a little bit later. The Malbim, he defines the chilik between the word shimu and the word hazinu. They both mean to listen. Gam b'nei Adam, gam b'nei Ish, yachad oshir v'yavion. The pasuk says b'nei Adam, b'nei Ish, an oshir and an evion. Let's just read a few psukim. Pi yidaber chochmos, my mouth speaks wisdom. V'hagus libi sivunos, the thoughts of my heart is tivuna, deep understanding. Okay, there's chochma and tivuna. Chochma is basic knowledge. Choneinu me'itcha deya bina v'haskel. The different levels of understanding. Okay, there are different expressions. So whatever over here we are. My heart is thinking. The word hagus means to think. Tivuna. Ate. Now here he begins over here to give a mashal. Ate. Tilt. The word ate means to tilt, bend. Bend your ear to listen carefully to the following riddle. Mashal. Atel mashal ozni, I bend to listen carefully to the proverb. I bend my ear. We have to read out of order. Ate, I bend ozni, my ear lemashal, to listen to the following mashal. Eftach bechinar chidasi, I begin my riddle with a kinar. In other words, he's saying,
I'm reading
pasuk. Hey. I'm reading to the pasuk. Before we can, so we just want to run through some of the pasukim before we do the mitzvah stuff. It pasuk on page 434. 434. The Bnei Karach are beginning and they're beginning with this poetry. And he's saying over here, he's giving instructions. He's saying about himself. I will bend my ear to listen to the following example, a mashal, a proverb. I will open my riddle with a kinar. We have to read it backwards. Eftach. I will begin chidasi, my riddle. Two different words. He's calling it a mashal and he's calling it a riddle. We have to see why. Bichinar, with a harp. Why a harp? A harp, it seems, is musical accompaniment. We know that, when you add music, like in a movie, at a moment when you want to send a message, they have music. The music, it somehow creates it's an incredible koyach. You ever look at these, the daily dose, Torah anytime, the daily dose, or meaningful minute? You ever see this, these things, they spend, you know how much money they spend on this, the daily dose, Torah anytime? They take speeches, that people work full-time on this. full time. They take speeches or by inspirational speakers that are very popular, and they go through it very carefully, and they find a clip of about, let's say, 60 seconds, a clip, and they just play that clip, and then they have headings, and they have the words as the person says, they put the words, and the most important thing is they add music, background music, and the background music creates a setting where the words penetrate. It's incredible chachma. They do this in every movie, every television show, every movie they do this. You have background music which has the koyach to somehow open up your mind. It sets the mood and allows the words of the speaker to penetrate your head. That it would otherwise...
Theme song, that's
a general concept, that theme, but even just in a certain point in an episode, when you want the words to penetrate, is this certain background music. That's nothing new.
Some people, when they learn, also they do a melody.
They sing a melody, a hespedim.
When they learn,
they sing with a song. Some they have a custom when they give hespedim, they say the hesed with a melody. Okay, you don't see that too much anymore, but they used to be years ago. The hespedim, there was a what? Eretz Yisrael, they still do it. Okay, there's a minig, hespedim. They would deliver the eulogy with a certain melody, even the nusach hatfilah. Kera Baruch showed me this. It's incredible stuff. The koyach of music in Rabbi Luchstein. Rabbi Haskell Luchstein, the rabbi of the Jewish
Ramaz.
He's the president. What's the name of the shul? KJ. Kilas Yeshurin. So he is a phenomenal Baal Tzvila. Tremendous koyach. He's a Baal Tzvila. And he has a website, and the shul website. And the shul website, he has there the entire nusach of the Tzvila for everything. Pashat Yom Nairoim. But he has everything, and he even has the nusach hatfilah for the Yemei HaChol, the days of the week. Rav Baruch showed this to me. Now, I'm sure you know, you go, there's a certain melody. This is not my thing. There's a certain melody. You go to a shul, some shuls, anyone here can do the melody? I'm talking about this, not from what he has on the website. But there's a certain melody, a nusach, on a regular day, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Shacharis, that you hear every so often in shul. There's a certain yidavin, the shliach tzibur, when he davins, yishtabach, kaddish, baruchu, chazor sashatz, there's a certain melody, you don't hear it so much anymore. I used to hear it. There's a melody. No, the nusach is the nusach, but there's a certain melody. I can't do it on the spot. Maybe I'll break my head, I'll come to me, I'll go around to certain shul. I don't remember. Okay, there's a certain melody. I love that melody. So on his website, he doesn't have that melody. He has two other melodies. Talking about during the week. And you know what the melody is? It's the melody you sing for the brachos after the haftorah. Again, this is not the melody that you're hearing. This the melody that he describes. I never heard this before. There's another melody that I've heard every so often. You've all heard it. Every so often in shul. For some reason, he does not have that melody on his website, but he says the melody, the real melody, that the mesorah that you're supposed to sing when you daven shachris mincha, I assume shachris mincha ma'ariv every day, is a simplified melody of the brachos when you conclude the haftorah. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Tzur Kol Olamim Tzadik L'chol Hadarais Okel Ne'mon Hoymer V'yoseh Hamadaber Mekayim Shekol Devarav Emesvot Tzedek Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu V'Elokei Avoseinu Elokei Avraham Elokei Yitzhak V'Elokei Yaakov Okel Agadol Hagibor V'Hanara Kel Elyon Gomel Chasodim Tovim V'Konei Yaakol V'Zocher Chastei Avos V'Yiguel V'Nevneihem L'Man Shmo B'Yavo. That's the melody. There's a melody. Even the Nusach HaTfilah has a melody. It creates an environment that allows the words to penetrate into our hearts. And that's what he says over here. He says over, Eftach b'chino chidosi. I want to go tell you a message. My chid, I'm going to give you an example of where I'm going to show you that money cannot solve all problems. Money's not going to make a difference. If a person is a murderer, he's a murderer. All the money in the world, you're not going to be able to redeem him. You're not going to be able to redeem a person who's on death row. Really? Today, today it would work, I think. But at least he's talking about there are certain situations in life where money can't help you. He's going to give a mashal in a few moments. And he'd say, I'm afraid that my listeners over here are not going to be paying much attention. So I'm going to call up Torah anytime and call up Meaningful Minutes. Torah time really just copied Meaningful Minutes. If they heard me say that now, fired. They would look at me if they just heard what I just said now, and if you chop what I just said over here, you know what I'm talking about? If they heard what I just said, I would be shot. But I'll say it again. You add background music to a statement. It creates a certain mood which allows the words to penetrate. How often do you have something like this? A mizmar where the composer is saying, I have something that is so important to say. I want you to listen to these words with music, with a kinar, because the words have to penetrate. And you think about it, really, that's really, if you think of it, the truth is, the shir of the Levim is like this. The Levim sang a mizmar with music. Why? Why? Because it's nice. Think about it. What's the pshat? Every day, hayoyim yoyim shlishi b'shabbos, hayoyim yom revi b'shabbos, shabo hoyu ha-levim oymrim b'mikdash. And b'veis ha-mikdash, depending on your nusach. And then we say every single day a mizmar. In the Beis HaMikdash, that mizmar, it wasn't just words, it was they sang it with music. Why? So the average person will tell you, you know why they sang with music? Because, oh, it's nice. It's not the reason. The music and the melody was there in order to allow the words to penetrate. We don't think of it like that. We think, yeah, based on English, so it's nice. It's a nice thing. No, it's not. It's not just it's nice. There's a purpose to the music, to the musical instruments. There's a purpose for the melody. It's all a tool for the words that are said in the mizmar to achieve the maximum impact. The impact of the words has to penetrate.
Like the trumpet and the tower does that.
Also, the melody is there not just to make it easy.
The words,
oh, that's saying, you're saying another pshat.
Yeah, I know.
You're saying a whole different mahalach.
It gives you a sense of what you say, the phraseology.
That's all right. That's a whole different interpretation.
Yeah, but the song also right.
The melody allows, it opens up the emotional part of the brain to allow the words, the message to penetrate. Once already having a melody, you're going to put the melody in certain words, which will also provide elucidation what the words actually mean, depending on where you stop, where you go up high, where you go low. But besides it providing elucidation for the message, it also creates an emotional state where the mind is open and is receptive to accept the words, what it says. And he's emphasizing that point over here in this mizmar. Atel mashal azni, I'm going to bend my ears to listen to the mashal. Eftach, I'm going to read it backwards. Eftach ki dasi, I am going to begin my riddle b'chinar with the benefit of using a harp, like Karl Bach. Karl Bach would play the guitar, right, as he would say things. Lama ira b'mei ra, avoin akeva yisubeni. Why should I be afraid at the time of ra? Ra means death. The sin of my footsteps will surround me. Haboidchem al chelam, those who have faith in their wealth, uvroiv ashram yisalalu, and the abundance of their, the people who have faith, we have to go back and read the Mesuzah's exact translation. Ach loy fado yifte, a brother will not be able to be redeemed, ish, by a man, loyite lelukim kafroi, and you'll not be able to give ransom to Hashem. Okay, we just said words. Let's take a look how they're translated in the Mitzvot Stavra very quickly. Just a few more minutes. Let's go back and look at the Mitzvot Stavra on these few psukim to get a little bit of appreciation of what's going on over here. I'm now going back to page 432. 432, really 433, in the Mitzudos David. The Mitzudos David, Kol Ha'amim, Ki Kulam Shrichem Lodas HaMusar Azeh. The whole world needs to hear this Musar. It's not all about money. Yachat, Ritzayin Eloymar, Zeh Kizeh. Where's the word Yach going on? Gan B'nei Adam, one more time, Shimu Zos Kol Ha'amim, Hazinu Kol Yoshvei Cholet. Let all the nations listen, hearken, all of the people who live on this earth. The word choled means this earth. Look at the Mitzudois Tzion. Tzion, he says the word choled is Anshei Hazman. Okay, that's a different translation than what we're accustomed to. The people of the time. The Anshei, the people living at this time. Where does the word choled come to the word Zman? I don't know. I don't know where it comes from. We'll have to probably come across it soon. I don't remember. Next, then Gam b'nei Adam, Gam b'nei Ish, Yachad. What does it mean, Yachad? Ritzayin Eloymar, Zeh Kozeh, Yachad, Osher v'Yevion. Whether you're rich, whether you're poor, listen carefully to what I'm about to tell you. Pasuk Dalet, in Mitzudas David, on the next page. The next page of Mitzudas David is on page 434. Listen, Api Yedaber Chochmos, my mouth will speak with wisdom. The Hagus Libi, and my thoughts, the thoughts of my heart will articulate understanding. Mitzudos David, the Hagus Machshavos Libi. The word Hagus means a thought. The thoughts of my heart, Libi, Hema Divrei Tevuna, they are words of understanding. Ritzono Lomar Milvad Hadvarim Haniglim Sheyesh B'Mashe Adaber. Besides the wisdom of what you're going to hear that come forth from my mouth. There's a lot of depth. There's a lot of depth. There's more to it that's not going to come forth in, not going to be articulated, but it's deep, deep down in my heart. Pasuk Hey, Ate l'moshol ozni, divrei hamoshol heim kmo katzoin lishol shatu, v'lo yiru or. Now these are Psukim later on. These are the Mishalim. There are going to be many Mishalim, and we'll see them when we get to those Psukim. We'll see those Psukim in more detail. But let's pass over for a moment. The Omar Gam Ani Ate Ozni Lohem. I'm also going to pay attention. Koimer Loi Hachid Levad Askir VeAzhir Ki Gamis Atzmi Imohem. In other words, he's saying over here is, I'm not just talking to you. I'm preaching to myself. Okay, you always hear these inspirational speakers. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to myself. Just the opposite. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you, and I'm also talking to myself. Practice what you preach. He's looking over here is the fact that it says, Ate, I will also take to heart the Musar that I'm giving you. I'm giving you Musar. I'm speaking to you. I'm not just speaking to myself. I'm speaking to you. You need to hear this. But I believe in what I'm telling you. Like the old classic Tupperware car salesman. Isn't it amazing? Every time I lease the car, not that many times, the person who leased me the car said to me these words, I drive this car. Do you believe that? I drive this car. That's what they tell them. These guys know how to swindle you. They say to you, you like this car? This is a great car. I also drive this car. This is the car that I drive. Really? Wow. If you drive, you sell 1,000 cars a day, and this is what you do the whole day, and you select it for yourself. If there's anyone who knows which is a good car, it's you, and you drive this car. Wow. That means it's worthy for me to drive this car. That's crazy. And the next customer who sells another car, I drive this car. What in the world is going on over here? Okay, every car salesman will tell you, I drive this car. That's the car that I have for myself. It's a technique, it's a lie. It's a technique in order to convince you to buy this car, to lease this car. So this technique, it really works. Does he really have that car? It could very well be that the car company, In order to get these people to sell this car, they give them the car for a month. They give it to them just for a little bit. They should get familiar with it. They should use it for free for just for a short period of time in order that they can say that to their customers and they can have an affinity with the car and they actually can talk about it in a personal way to convince the customer to buy the car. But it works. This technique works. This is what I do for myself. And he says, Atel Moshel Ozni, I also will pay attention to this Moshel. I'm going to read this again one more time, Pastor K, one more time in the midst of the stuff. Atel Moshel Ozni, Divrei HaMoshel HaKeim Kemo. I don't know what this means. Kitsoin, I don't think I got so far in preparing this mizmar. Kitsoin l'shol shatu, v'lo yiru or. I don't know what this means, but let's just go further. V'omar, gam ani ate ozni lohem. I also will bend my ear and listen to this example, this moshel, this riddle, in order to take musar from what I'm saying. Ko'oimer, loy lizulas levad askir ve asir. I am not only speaking to you, to other people, to give them musar. Ki gam es atzmi imohem. I also need to hear the same musar. I am also going to take to heart what I'm saying, and therefore we're all in it together. And you can trust me. If I live by these words, it must be that these words are true.
The best person that gives musa is someone that you really feel that he's saying not only for you, but...
Exactly. It's exactly what it says here. Exactly what it says. Eftach b'chinoch yidasi ki hachidohi segura usatuma. I'm going to tell you a riddle. And the riddle is very... It's hidden. It's difficult. It's not obvious. The message, the solution to the riddle is a big secret. And the Omar, Eftach, I will open up Sitima Sachida, the Afarish, I will open up the meaning of the riddle and explain it. Im Hakinor Shazamerba, together with musical accompaniment. Ki Behach Roas Hanigun, with the hachros of the nigun, yuvan ha-devarim. Now, what does that mean exactly? With hachros, which means with the playing. Over here means with the playing, with the going up, the going down. Maybe more what Rabbi Efsky was saying is that when you the tameh ha-mikra, it provides explanation, elucidation of the matter. The music will be a tool to help you figure out the solution to the riddle. Pasuk Vav, Lam Ira.
I remember at one point in my life when somebody said to me, if you know what you're saying, you can figure out the trouble.
Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky used to say that.
Right.
Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky used to say that if you know the rules, and you know what the Pasuk says, you on your own can figure out the trope of the Tanya Mikra in any Pasuk. Okay, That's a very big chiddush.
You have to reach a certain,
a level of understanding. Okay, lam ira v'zeu devarai. Hear my words. Lam ira return loyma. Al mo ira kishiyavo hara ba'olam. When you're living in a time, this world, there are good times and there are not such good times. When a person experiences the inevitable, when things in this world are not so good, there's nothing to be afraid. There's nothing to be afraid about. Why v'haloi al V'haloi, al kihu avoinois hashani mezalzel bohem lidushom ba'akev, averois that I don't pay attention to. Person lives his life and he does averos, he steps on them. There are certain things people don't pay much attention to. Avak lashon hara chazal say, hey, there are certain things that people, they don't take seriously. Ragli heim, lidushom ba'akev ragli, heim, ha me sabivim oisi. It is these sins that I step on, they are going to surround me. There's a day of reckoning, and they're going to demand retribution. Uvavuram ani mefached pen al yidehem elokeid bora'ah. He's saying something very, very profound, an extremely profound concept. There are times in this world that are good times. During the good times, the person there's nothing to worry about, not even from his averos. His averos are put at bay. There's a special divine favor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is overlooking averos, and the world is cruising along. Everything is fine and good. But then comes the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, there's din. And when there's din, then there's a reckoning. So a person was a good person, so he didn't do any big averos. He didn't rob a bank. He didn't kill anyone. He didn't take away someone's parnasa. He didn't give anyone any major agmas nefesh. So during the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is demonstrating in this world harshness, from the big stuff you have nothing to worry about. Because you didn't do anything bad. But the little things, that's what you have to worry about now. Even though during the good times, the little things HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not makbid on, but when it comes a tekufa in this world of Hester Panim, it's the little averos that we thought we can get away with, they are now going to come and come back to haunt us. And he's saying over here about death. This means, as we said before, you say it in the Beis Avel. A Beis Avel, the person leaves this world. So what is he afraid of? What did the person do already in this world? You have a good person, a person, a shomer Torah mitzvahs, who was a shomer Shabbos his whole life. He never did anything horrible. He never heard he did anything horrible. So what is he worried about? You know what he's worried about now? He's worried about talking during davening. He's worried about avak lashon hara. He's worried about coming to shul late. He's worried about, you know, a little nasty insult here and there. The little things. The little things is now what is coming to get the person, because every single thing will demand retribution. Let's go further. Now we come to the money. Zayin. Haboitchim re'etzonu le'amar. Imkein kol shekein. If I have to worry about the little things that I stepped on and I did not take seriously, how much more so do I have to worry about my whole life was focused on money? We fool ourselves and think that it's not about the money. It's always about the money. It's always, that's the way the world goes. It's always about the money. Ritzon Elohimar, Imkein, Kol Shekein, Ho Anoshim, Hatoylim, Bit Chaynam, Beroiv Ashram, Umis Halalim Ba, and they praise themselves, Ba Kol Shekein, Sheyesh Lohem Lehispachad. They're in a lot of trouble. They have to be terrified. Ki Haloi Darkam, their whole way of life only resolved around money. Where is the money? Haloki Darkam Laharbois Lazilzul Bavoinois Viladusham Biakeva Regel. It was their way to step on everything because of money. Okay, Pasakhes, Och Koimer Hine Beemes, Sichlus Godolhu Livtoyach Boysh. It's a foolish thing to have faith in money. Ki haloi ein ish yuchal liftois b'mamon es ochiv min ha-misa. Let's say Rachmano Litzlan, a person who has someone that he's very close with, a brother, and his brother is on death row, and he goes to the king, and he says, listen, this person is so precious to me. How could you kill him? I'll give you all my money. The king will laugh at him. Sorry, he committed a crime. He's going to die. All your money is not going to help you. It's the same thing. The neshama, a person abuses his neshama his whole life. I'm not going to daven, I'm not going to learn, I'm not going to work on myself, I'm not going to do anything to improve my neshama. Nothing. And now it comes the end of life. Listen, Hashem, I got in the bank a lot of money. I'll give some tzedakah, I'll leave in my will 3% to the UJA. Okay, I'll leave some money to some good cause. I'll leave a few dollars, and that will be a redemption for my neshama. So it says here, ridiculous. It's not going to help you. It's not going to help you. You cannot redeem your neshama with money. With money. You can't save your own neshama with money. Okay, so let's review these psukim. We want to stop. What we learned over here so far, we'll review the psukim just outside the psukim one more time. I have a message that is universal. Everyone should listen to this. Hazin kol yoshvi cholet. All of mankind, everyone that lives upon this earth, or what it says in the Mitzudos, everyone, no matter what time, the Anshei Hazman, no matter what era you live in the 21st century or you live in the 10th century, this is a principle that is universal in location and in time. What is the Gam B'nei Adam? all of humanity, man, Gam B'nai-ish, this is a poetic repetition. The Mitzvah stuff does not want to dwell. We'll see Mirzashem another time, the Targum, a very interesting Targum on the Targum on this entire Mizmar. Targum over here is a major commentary. But right now, on a very similar level, this is a message that applies to Gam B'nai-Adam, Gam B'nai-ish, Yachad. Every person, there's no exception, Oshir V'yavyoin, no matter where you find yourself on the spectrum, the pursuit of material gain is on the top of the mind of every person. P Yidaber Chochmas, I have something very wise to tell you. The Hogus Libi Tuvunos. And whatever I'm going to tell you, there's even more. Deep down in my heart, there are thoughts that are even more profound than what's going to come forth from my mouth. And it's all the same message. And what I'm telling you now, it's not just for you. It's for me. I practice what I preach. If I practice what I preach, so you should listen, take me seriously. I bend l'mashal ozni. I bend my ear to the mishalim, to the different examples of the Musar. Eftach b'chinuch yidasi. I'm going to tell you things that are very sophisticated. They're very deep, and they need to be understood and deciphered. And I'm going to use music to help you understand this. For either the music will provide elucidation, or it will provide an opening of the mind to appreciate the words. And here we go. Here I begin my mashalim. He states a reality. A reality is, lama yirabi meira. The way the Mitzudos learns this pasuk is a statement. What is a person afraid of in life? What is he afraid of? When things are good, he's afraid of nothing. When he's healthy and he's successful and he's in the time of his life where everything is good, he's afraid of nothing. Why is he afraid of nothing? Because most people are good people. Most people are not crazy. They're not out to destroy the world. Oh, but every single person ain't tzaddik, ba'aretz, asher yaseh, tov lo yecheta. We make small mistakes. We do averos here and there. Okay, Hashem is not so makbid on these things in the good times of life. But I know, everyone knows, that there's going to be a day of Ra that's coming along. No one lives forever. There's going to be reckoning. And everyone knows, they're not going to get me in the next world for murder. They're not going to get me in the next world for avodah zarah gilirei shvichas damim. What is a person worried about on the day of Ra? On the day when you're 120, when 120 comes, you're worried about, I came late to davening, I didn't bench with kavana, I did this. I didn't really care about my friends. I didn't really do what, you know, what we consider to be small things. Things that you can get away with now, we know that we're not going to get away with at the end of days. What is a person worried about? Bimei Ra. You know what you're worried about? You worry about the small things. About the Avon Akevai Yisubin. That's the answer. We're worried about the sins that we stepped on in this world, which are minor. We're worried that those sins are going to come and demand retribution. Wait a minute. If we're worried about the little things, maybe we're fooling ourselves in that we've done some big things. Big things. I didn't do Avodah Zarah. I didn't do Gili Arayas. I didn't do Shvichas Damim. What are you talking about? Your whole life is a lie. Your whole life is guided by one thing, money. Money, isn't that true? Your values, your interests, your decisions, you're fooling yourself. You think there's nothing small, there's nothing big, you've not done anything big because you didn't do Avodah Zarah, Gili Arayas, Shvichas Damim. Okay, maybe you didn't do those things, but every decision you made in life was a decision because of money. Isn't that a big thing? If you're worried about waking up late for davening, don't you think you should worry that your whole life was guided by money? Shouldn't you worry about this? The fact that most people have confidence, if they have money in the bank, everything is good. They praise themselves. I got enough money forever. I'm sorry to burst your bubble. All that money that you've had faith in is really worthless. Because all that money in this world, we all know that there are situations in this world where money can't help you. You can't, a person, Rahman is sick, Can the money go? You go to a person, goes to a doctor. The doctor says you have this problem. Okay, I'll just pay another $1,000 and the problem will go away. It doesn't work like that. You have a root canal. You need a root canal. All the money in the world is not going to prevent you from going through the procedure. If you need a root canal, you're going to have to pay, but you can't go, I'll pay double not to have the root canal. Sorry, buddy, that's the way life goes.
Nowadays, you have to pay double just to get the
exactly. You know what I mean. Certainly, in the next world, money is not going to solve the problems of your neshama. If ochloi podo yifte ish, if an ish, a person, does not have the ability to redeem his brother when his brother is in trouble, the Mitzudah is adding quite a bit of commentary here, you notice. He's saying that the och, the brother, is in trouble. It doesn't say that in the pasuk. He's in a lot of trouble with the law, and an ish means the good brother is not going to be able to redeem him, and so therefore, it's the same thing. Lo yitain lelokim kofro. Money is not going to be able to redeem your neshama. So the basic idea over here is, we do worry about things. He's setting us up. It's very, very complex, this mizmar. We do worry about din v'cheshben. Unfortunately, we're only worried about the little things. Maybe we should worry about the big things. Big things? What big things did I possibly do? What big averos? I'm a tzaddik. I didn't do anything big. You did something very big. Your whole derech in life was guided by where's the money? And we fool ourselves in thinking that it's not true. And it is true. And that is something we should worry about. Because the money is not going to be able at the end of the day to save us from anything. Okay, that's the mizmor so far.
Purely money. And then there are other people who have to pay the bills, and that's what their worry is. It's not about money.
You're right, it's all about money, but it's a matter of attitude. As we said, it's a matter of attitude.
Today's the day of the Dollar Sailors, the Retainer, and also a Prince of Knights.
Oh, wow.
He was the first person to give shir online.
When you said yesterday about Moshe having to pray for Yehuda.
The Benjamin?
The Remez, what I don't know if anybody else says this. It seems very obvious, but I don't know.